Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Jeff Probst has become a household name. As the host of the reality TV show Survivor, Probst has brought viewers to remote locations for 26 seasons as marooned strangers duke it out to be the sole survivor and win the $1 million prize. But that's not all Probst does. He wrapped up his daytime talk show in February, has directed two feature films, and now he's co-writing a tween series, Stranded, of which the second book, Trial by Fire, is out now. I caught up with Probst as he was taping the 27th season of Survivor in the Philippines, and he told us how he finds the time to write a series.
It was a busy year, for sure. But it's funny, I enjoyed writing the book probably as much as any of those other two things, Survivor and the talk show, because it was so different. I had never, I'd never really gone inside the head of kids and thought about what Survivor might be like, even though for the last 13 years, that's the question I most often get from kids. So in a weird way, because I'm also a husband and a dad, it really worked out fine. It was so much fun, and I ended up having enough time to have a full life. I don't really know how it worked out, but but it was fun.
Now, what I really enjoyed about these two books, and there is a third on the way, that it helps solidify what a family can be, and that people come from all walks of life and can come together and be that one unit.
Well, that was the underlying part of the story that was appealing, was the survivor part was kind of a natural fit to put kids in that adventure situation. But it was my wife's idea initially. When we got married, she brought two kids into my life, and they were pretty young, and so calling me dad was easy for them because they didn't really think anything about it was odd. And when we were looking for fiction about a blended family, there wasn't anything. There's lots of self-help books about how to tell your child this or how to help kids get along. But I just was looking for something that was real in a fictional environment where they could see it in action. And so when we added that element and said, okay, let's take four kids, but they're both from a different mom and a different dad who just got married, and this will be where they learn to become brother and sister. That's what, as you say, sort of gave it the texture that really made it sing.
So I want to start talking about these four new siblings. And our oldest is Vanessa. And in this book, they have all been stranded from the Lucky Star, which apparently was not a very lucky boat then. And they're calling this island where they're stranded Nowhere Island.
Yeah, it's funny. I've heard writers for years say, the characters tell you what to say. But when Chris and I, who I wrote the book with, we sat down and kind of figured out the four archetypes that we wanted these kids to be, to have a leader and to have sort of the storyteller, which is the younger girl, Jane, and then have Carter, who's the athletic guy, who's fearless, and Buzz, who is sort of a couch potato. But what you realize is that all the time that he spent watching survival shows and playing games hasn't been for naught, that he's been learning along the way. Because I've been really myself conscious about video games and kids and coming to terms with it. And I'm coming along to the side that says there is some good that can come from it in teaching them how to think and how to problem solve. And so that's some of the things we wanted to bring into this. And, out of the gate, you have a young girl, Jane, who is the storyteller and is documenting their trip. And she's the one who names this island Nowhere Island, and she names a couple of other points, Lookout Point and things like that. And it really was kind of a natural voice that just came out, is you just, I guess, being a dad, you just listen to what kids do. They don't overthink things. This is Nowhere Island because we're in the middle of nowhere.
And Jane is wise beyond her years. It's interesting how the other three look to Jane to be that voice of reason, because she is documenting the trip, that she sees everything.
Yeah, and I think that, when you take these four kids and you put them in this environment and each of them represents something different, what that opens up is for them to sort of learn from each other. Because Jane doesn't have it figured out. She's the youngest, but she does have a fearless ability to say what's happening. And at certain points in the story is exactly what the group needs. In the same way that Carter, this kid that was probably born athletic, and he just knows how to do sports, and he likes to be the kid who climbs up first, and he wants to be the first to beat you. There are things about that that Buzz needs in his life. He needs a little more fearlessness, and he needs to test himself, and he needs to get up off the couch, and you need to lose a couple pounds. You're becoming a fat kid, and that's not healthy. So there's that part of rivalry between brothers that will help Buzz become better. But what Buzz offers is something completely different from Carter. Buzz is a thinker, and he's thoughtful, and he listens, and that's something Carter doesn't do. And the more we're looking at doing books 4, 5, and 6, and the more we look ahead, the more interesting it becomes to me to really watch these kids grow up and become, as you said, really become a family. And one of the other big things we wanted to strive for in this book was self-sufficiency. Because I always ask kids when they come up to me and they say, when are you going to do a Survivor for Kids? I always say, how do you think you would do? How do you really think you would do? Could you start a fire if I gave you a flint right now? Because I've tried and it's pretty hard. So that's part of the appeal, is that these kids don't have anywhere to turn and they actually do learn how to do it.
Right, because after that first novel, they lost the Lucky Star, which they had been sleeping on as it had gotten marooned on Nowhere Island. So then they have to think about, well, where are we going to stay? How are we going to stay out of the rain and stay dry? And where are we going to find fresh water? It's just the survival needs and the tasks that need to be done, and not knowing, never having been in that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes all the readers think, oh my gosh, how would I do? It's those questions that you ask the children that talk to you.
Well, you know, I'm shooting Survivor right now, which is why it probably sounds a little echoey, because I'm in a big vacant room. But I'm constantly reminded when I talk to a group of people who are adults, and I'll say, how's it going with fire? And they'll say, it's day 4 and we still can't get it going. And, you know, people who watch the show say to me, what's wrong with these people? When I say, nothing. It's hard. It's really hard. And when it rains, it's really cold. And when you're out of water or you're low on rice, you're really hungry. And then you get really annoyed. And then you get mad at each other. And that's the way it goes. So I'm amazed, looking at these books, that there really isn't anything else in them. It really is pure adventure. And yet it seems to, from the kids that are talking to me, be enough to actually have to figure out how to make a shelter, or what do you do if you run into wild pigs that are scary, or a snake hanging down from a tree. You don't just brush it off. You actually play that out, and you have to watch Carter now. What is he going to do with this snake that's dangling? And will it become food, or will it become his enemy? How will this go?
It's interesting watching them grow just in these first two books and finding new parts of themselves. As you said, Buzz is a couch potato, and though he has been watching these Survivor shows, which is now coming in extremely handy for them, but nobody gave him any credit. And so he thinks that he's pretty much a loser as well. So it's him finding his self-confidence to voice his opinion or voice what he thinks should be the next step.
Yeah, and you know, there's a clarification in there. His parents gave him confidence. In fact, one of the themes in that is that Buzz and his sister, Vanessa, they vote on things in their house, which says each kid had a voice. And Carter says, well, that's not how we did it in my house. So it's that peer pressure thing of, you're out of your comfort zone, daddy's not here. You're not really old enough to be in this environment. You shouldn't have to do this, but this is what the adventure has given you. And so now what do you do? And man, that mirrors Survivor. Because most of the people that are on Survivor are normal people. They haven't climbed a mountain. That's not what most people do. They haven't been out in the wilderness. So when they leave their job and they put the suit coat up and they get their tennis shoes out, and then we say, okay, here's a map, good luck, they're lost. And it's not because they're not good people. It's because we don't live in that kind of a society. And so the kids in Stranded, their adventure is really mirrored by everything I see on Survivor. I just put it in kids' hands. But they're facing the same dilemma, which is the pressure to make a fire. I've just watched people do it for the last 6 days on this season, and it's not easy. And when somebody finally gets it, it's the greatest feeling in the world. And they run around like crazy going, I got fire. I made fire. It's the same thing.
And then keeping the fire going, which is a constant struggle in a rainy climate.
That is true. Keeping the fire going is a ongoing dilemma. And it's something that on Survivor and even in Stranded, you don't spend a lot of time on, because once you've established they know how to make it, then, you know, the assumption is they will get it back. But yeah, it does become a story point in Stranded that you have to tend to your fire. And if you don't watch your fire is fire. It is capable of burning down an entire island or your shelter or both. And that's something that rarely happens on Survivor, but occasionally, and it's taking it for granted. And when you're a kid and you get fire, then you don't realize how dangerous it is. And that comes into play for them, and it's another lesson.
And Vanessa's the oldest. She really feels responsible for the other three because she is the oldest. So it's really nice to see Buzz, Carter, and Jane step up to the plate and tell her, you don't have to feel that way. Because, I mean, as they're coming together as a family, they're taking on the responsibilities on each of their shoulders instead of placing it on one.
Yeah, that's a good observation. And that really came from the way we talk to our kids. For the most part, our kids are kids, and they'll push as far as they can and try to get away with as much as they can. But I noticed that when you sit down and say, did you really think that was going to fly? Or does that make sense to you? Or are you regretting saying that to your sister? 90% of the time, the answer from the older brother, in our case, Michael, will be, yeah, I know. I just had this weird thought, and I just wanted to say it, and she was bugging me. And so it's really taught me that kids know right from wrong, and they have empathy. They just aren't typically called on to use it, because they're exploring different parts of themselves and they're pushing boundaries in school or with peers and dealing with peer pressure. But when it's just the four of them, I think it's a pretty honest thing to think that three kids might realize, wow, the one sister's taken on a little much, so let me help. And it felt very authentic. And I had a lot of kids read these books, especially number two and number three, before they were even finished, just asking them, tell me who you like, tell me what you don't like, tell me what you remember, tell me if anything bores you. And a lot of input from kids about who they relate to and why, and it feels very, you know, the feedback has been very consistent, and it's making me feel that the kids are pretty authentic.
And Jane's like that. I'd have to say I gravitate more towards Jane just because I like seeing her grow, and Carter has always coddled her because it's his baby sister. But she says, I can do it. I know I'm small, but I can do it. And all the things that she is now able to try, and Carter is realizing, hey, you can do it. I don't necessarily have to protect you from everything.
Yeah. And I like that relationship too. And we just finished the third book a couple of months ago, and it comes out in November. And Jane grows even more, and it's actually Jane's quietness and her ability to really listen that actually becomes a big turning point in the story, because the kids are often starting to make their new home a true new home. But Jane is zeroed in on the differences and the sounds and the nuances of the island, and it's her ability to really pay attention that ultimately leads to the next big turning point in the story involving them and whether or not they'll be rescued or be reunited. And so she grows a lot in book three.
Well, you certainly know how to leave a cliffhanger. I was talking to your publicist and I said, oh my gosh, when is the next one out? I need it.
So nice to, you know, be interviewed by somebody who's spent so much time thinking about it. And I appreciate all your questions. It's a whole new world for me. And I never, even when we made the deal in about 10 minutes, it was the easiest pitch I've ever done for anything. And finding Chris, this amazing writer to work with, who happened to be a super fan of Survivor, and so we had a shared language instantly. And then Survivors came on board to give him input, and our doctor was on board, and my psychologist was on board. And so everything about it has been infused with this authenticity. And now that the three of them are done, it's kind of surprising to me and fun to hear people talking about it. And I look at them and think, oh my gosh, that's pretty cool. We have this little series and I guess we should continue it.
You absolutely should. The name of the book is Stranded 2, Trial by Fire. Jeff, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Katie, thanks for the nice interview.
Again, the name of the second book in Jeff Probst's Stranded series is Trial by Fire. It is published by Penguin. Probst is also the host of the reality TV show Survivor, which kicks off its 27th season September 18th. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.